Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for WIC's Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the WIC's Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in and take off to discuss the hot topics of Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. WIC's wants to hear from you. Again, that's WIC's Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
Live from the land of the free. Because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
Well, howdy folks. This is the WIC's Warbird Weekly Live coming to you tonight, and may the 4th be with you. I'm your host, Ryan Keough. As always, we're here every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, and joining me as he is just about every single week, my co-host Zane Adams from the WIC's Warbird Forum, Warbird Forum at warbirdinformationexchange.org. Zane, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing well, doing well. Just got through with my Bantha burgers and with some little Vader tots, and followed up with my Wookiee key lime pie dessert and maybe some Qui-Gon gin and tonic later after the show. So
you're just way too much of a geek on that one. But strangely enough, you didn't call in to the morning show and do the Wookiee call.
Yeah, was working this morning, so you know. I'm Star Wars geek from way back, so
that would probably shock the natives, I guess. if you were to do that at the office, but Well, we have a great show this evening for us, and Zane's going to tell us a little bit more about it and bring in our guest that we have this evening.
Sure. Yeah. Tonight we're talking to a new guy in the CAF. Well, I don't know if he's a new guy with the CAF, but he's the new squadron leader of the new CAF Invader Squadron. They have taken charge of the A-26B, which was serial number 437140, which everybody knows as the Spirit of Waco. And they are taking that airplane over, the Spirit of Waco. I guess the Ranger Squadron had some issues with the airplane and with their staff and everybody, and they have sent the airplane back to the headquarters squadron, and the headquarters was looking for a new squadron, and they're starting up fresh and new, and the airplane is under restoration, ready to go back to, and will be stationed here in Fort Worth at the Vintage Flying Museum. And tonight we're talking with Paul Larger, the squadron leader, with them, and hear all about the airplane. Paul, are you here with us?
I am, and thank you for the invitation.
Hello, Paul. Sure. Welcome to the show this evening. I will admit that I've got to say that I've been looking, you know, very, very jealously at a lot of these photos that I've seen of the aircraft getting ready for its ferry flight out. I always love the A-26, you know, and seeing another one taking to the skies again and getting its right deserving TLC is a wonderful opportunity. If you would tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started in Warbirds, and how it came to be that you got involved with the CAF and this project that you're on.
Well, personally, I began with the CAF in 1989, and discovered that I could join the Dallas-Fort Worth wing of the CAF, which is, of course, based in Lancaster, and was immediately recruited onto the team that restored the Zero.
Mm.
And we got that back into flying condition. And I became the wing leader of the DFW wing in the early 90s. And then later on, business commitments tore me away. But now that I'm retired, I have the opportunity to get back actively with the CAF. Mm-hmm. And a group of us was looking at the possibility of submitting a request for the A-26 that was up for assignment by headquarters in Midland.
Mm-hmm.
And a group of us got together and said, yes, let's go for it. And all of the documentation and the paperwork went in, and headquarters approved it. And so for a year, actually, a team went out to Midland to do the annual and do the inspections on the plane. And unfortunately, in one of those inspections, we found corrosion on the rear spar carry-through.
Mm.
And so the whole project almost ground to a halt. But then a very generous benefactor came forward from the East Coast and said, look, I will underwrite what needs to be done. And we had Nelson Ezell look at it and realize that if we did it as a volunteer group, it would be years in the process. But Nelson, with his excellent team, could really get into it and do the work. And he's now diligently working on it. We were out there today, actually, and the old spar is out. He sent it in for metallurgical analysis. And it's compatible with the aluminum that he has, and it's now out for being carved into a new spar and then back into the plane.
Wow.
Couldn't ask for a better group of folks to be working on the airplane than Nelson's crew out there in Breckenridge. So that's a good start. Yeah.
Well, we decided that we needed a project, so all of the control surfaces came off the plane. In fact, that's why we're out there today getting the ailerons to have projects that we could work on in preparation for it going off when Nelson's finished with it for stripping and respraying. So we've got a team working on rudder, ailerons, and elevators, and hopefully we can keep up with Nelson's pace and get them back to him in time for its flight off to the paint shop.
And you talk about your team. Who all is on your team there?
The maintenance officer is Rich Gensheimer, who his daytime job is with Flight Safety. He's one of the Falcon 200 trainers at Flight Safety.
Hmm.
And will eventually transition from into the right seat and then ultimately into the left seat. But our initial pilot in the left seat will be Buddy Cooksey, who's got an extensive experience with the CAF, flying the B-17 and also with the Tora gang.
Mm.
And then we currently now have, 70-plus members of various experiences. Some are A&Ps, some are pilots, and then others who are just volunteers with the enthusiasm to want to put this this warbird back in the air.
That's an outstanding number of volunteers for a short period of time, relatively, that you've got. I mean, and you said that you've got a pretty good mix at this point of volunteers and folks that are helping out on the team and such. When it comes to displaying it and getting it ready to tour, are your plans at this point to put it on the air show circuit? Are you going to be taking it and keeping it in terms of display at local museums in the area, or are you planning on establishing a headquarters of sorts of your own and displaying a museum around it?
Well, we're working with the assets available at the Vintage Flying Museum. Almost 50% of our squadron members are in Tarrant County and surrounding counties. And so there's a great opportunity there. And an interesting love with the departure of Chucky from the Vintage Flying Museum, 12 members of the VFM have also come into the CAF, waiting for another project to come into the hangar. So we're very excited about the relationship that CAF has with the VFM.
Well, that's great. The one thing that reminded me when you talked about Chucky there, and I was modifications, and brings up the topic of, you know, with the A26, this specific model was, like many other A26s, converted after the war into a corporate aircraft and flew with Barnwell Drilling Company for a while, and went into flight test research in Long Beach, California for a time. What are the plans in terms of any of the modifications that were done to the aircraft? Are you going to, as a group, try to get the aircraft closer and closer to military condition, or is it really just a point to get her in flying condition at this point and then just gradually bring her back to wartime status as much as you reasonably can without major cost?
Well, you're absolutely correct in that it was converted into an executive transport, and our initial short-term plans are to keep it that way, and also to offer rides as a revenue generator for the upkeep of the plane. So, you know, we can put a passenger in the jump seat behind the pilots, and four with a crew member in the passenger compartment at the back.
Wow, so it's going to be actually a pretty good hauler at this point. I mean, have you got any plans of possibly, you know, looking into the ability to you know, run revenue rides out of it as a fundraiser? I know that no A26s, I think, at this point have that capability, and I know there's a moratorium put on the flight experience exemption letters from the FAA at this point, but are you guys ever interested in possibly moving in that direction at all with the aircraft?
Yes, we certainly are looking at that possibility, and working with our fellow CAF wings and squadrons to have it as a visitor and into their location and work with them on that. Interestingly enough, I had a telephone conversation came into me today from Barksdale wanting to have the plane there for this weekend's air show. unfortunately, I had to tell them what the status was, so they couldn't get it. But that was, you know, a great level of enthusiasm that we have, that you know, the air show community is looking at our website and waiting for the plane.
Oh, that's great. I mean, at least you know, one of the things I got to say about the airplane is that it was probably one of the most photographed A26s in the early days of the air show circuit. You know, with its time that it spent at all the CAF shows and out at Breckenridge for a while. And you know, I know that a lot of people are familiar with it, so I'm sure that you're going to get that. But of course, you're going to be changing it from the Spirit of Waco over to a bit of a different paint scheme for the Hoodlehead scheme from the Korean War. Tell us a little bit about, you know, how that came to be, and how you guys decided on that.
Well, we looked at the A26 itself and the uniqueness that brought into the Warbird community, in that it was the plane conceived, designed, and produced during the years of World War II. And was the second fastest twin-engine bomber after the British de Havilland Mosquito. And then the unique, really unique factor of the plane is that it served with the U.S. forces in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. And so we said, right, let's look at Korea. And interestingly enough, our research team, headed up by Norm Hartman, as well as Steve Winchester, started to look and picked the 8th Bombardment, or the Liberty Squadron, which had a lot of unique history behind that, in that it was conceived or developed in World War I and has been in continuous operation from that time until today.
Wow.
Then it flew the first combat mission in Korea, as well as the last combat mission 20 minutes before the ceasefire was signed. And then as we got into that further investigation, we found that Captain John Springer Walmsley Jr. was a member of that squadron and was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor. And so we thought, well, perhaps what we'd like to do is to have that plane back as his plane that he flew prior to Korea and then during Korea. And we were able to track his daughter, who lives up in the East Coast, and she provided us with a lot of information as well as photographs, and that's where we found that he'd painted the name Hoodlehead on the nose. Well, that really set us wondering, where did Hoodlehead come from?
Mm-hmm.
And she told us that that basically that was his nickname for his wife, and so he wanted that on his plane. But hers for him was Buckethead, so there's going to be a bucket with water pouring out of it under the name Hoodlehead. And then she always carried a four-leaf clover while he was overseas as a good luck memento. And so he painted a four-leaf clover on the plane, and that'll be there. And then the final element of these good luck mementos that he had on his plane was his squadron ID letter was J for his daughter, whose nickname was J-Bird. And we then identified the serial number of the plane. And then we kind of hit a bump in the road, because when you go into the records of the night of the fatal mission, that was not the serial number. And we then learned that there were two aircraft in that squadron who had these large naval lights slung under the wings to illuminate the infiltrations from China and Korea. And his plane was one, and we assume he had a mechanical that night, and so he took the second plane, which was the plane of Al Gould. And unfortunately, that was the plane that was hit by ground fire and then crashed. So the good luck mementos he had surrounding him on his plane were not with him on the night of that mission. So, you know, we can read superstition into that or not. It's an interesting observation. Then we had another piece of information that was researched, that of the four crew members on the plane that night, the sole survivor was Master Sergeant George Mora, who was blown out of the plane and after 3 days was captured by the Koreans, North Koreans. And they treated him for his burns with the classic abrading of the scars and putting maggots on the dead flesh to cleanse it. But the interesting thing is that after the end of the Korean War, about 2 years after the crash, when he was repatriated, he decided to stay in, and then was chosen by Milton Caniff as the role model for Master Sergeant George Lakewood in the cartoon strip Steve Canyon.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of unique factors rolling around our decisions behind what to choose for the new color scheme of the plane.
It certainly has a lot of different threads that you could, you know, telling the story is really, you know, a very, very in-depth piece of this. And really, it's great that you're going to be putting it into a scheme that we haven't seen on the airshow circuit before, and being able to honor his memory too at the same time, and being able to bring this story out into the public. That's absolutely wonderful. Have you found any other members of the squadron or any other folks that you know, veterans that served with them at all that have become part of the organization or are going to be helping out with the airplane or even just, you know, assisting any more beyond what you've already come up with? Or are you, you know, currently on the search for that, and anything that we can broadcast out there and let people know you're on the lookout for this?
Absolutely. The bombardier was William Mulkins, who we know hailed from Oakland, California, and of course he perished on that night. And the photographer who was just along for that mission was Philip Browning from Port Huron, Michigan. And in fact, we've discovered that families of these two individuals have provided DNA for the DNA project when MIAs are found. Mm-hmm. And we have spoken with Dover, the DNA lab at Dover Air Force Base, about the two individuals and what we're doing. But of course, they do not divulge anything associated with family members, but will provide to those family members the fact that there is a group trying to trace them and the reasons why. So we are looking at that route, and I've heard nothing back yet. But if any of the listeners can shed any light on our search, we'd really like to include those two other valiant crew members on our history that will be displayed when the plane goes on the circuit.
Yeah, in our conversations earlier, you've stated that you have had some cooperation from the DNA lab, the DNA folks, military DNA guys, that have put you in touch with some of these family members and things. That's right. Is that correct?
No, that's incorrect. The DNA will not put us in contact. They will contact those family members and say, hey, there's a group of individuals who are looking to make contact with you, and these are the reasons why.
Okay. Have you had any success with that?
Not yet, no.
Oh, okay. I understood that you may possibly had, but it's a future hope then.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
In the future.
Yeah. Well, that's great that they will work with you in that manner. That's that helps to put people together, you know, in these things. But you know, you're going with the Korean War scheme on this airplane, and the CAF's traditionally been a World War II organization, and we talked a little bit about that, a little bit of change of philosophy there. Can you touch on that a little?
Yes, they are looking to extend out of World War II into Korea and possibly into Vietnam. You know, should the Warbirds be available and affordable to bring into the fleet, and so this was one of the reasons why we chose to look at moving the A-26 into a strong position as a plane that was very active with a very dynamic, let me say, squadron in Korea. If you notice on the CAF shield, it used to have the three planes flying over the clouds with down in the bottom corner 1939 to 1945. That has now been removed from the shield as part of this look to extend its involvement in the Warbird community.
Wow. I think it's probably a pretty good move there. So.
Right.
Yeah, considering the amount of aircraft that are at least coming out into the open, and of course we've got the Korean War to take care of and the Vietnam War, and considering also the fact that the A-26 or the A-26/B-26, depending on how you want to say it, really had a lot more usage during the Korean War than really the its use during the closing days of World War II, and the fact that it stretched even into the Vietnam War, I think is a testament to its durability, and certainly should be honored on that. If you're just joining us here, folks, we're speaking with Paul Lager, the squadron leader of the Invader Squadron of the Commemorative Air Force, based in Fort Worth, Texas, at Fort Worth Meacham Airport at this time, and we're discussing the A-26B serial number 43-7140, which everybody knew as the Spirit of Waco, but now will be known as Hoodlehead on the Aero Show circuit, and their work to bring the aircraft back up to flying status and get it back on the circuit. One of the things I wanted to ask you, Paul, is obviously Nelson has been working on the airplane, but you guys have been working as well and had a team out working on it. One of the things that I always get a chuckle out of when people are doing such a large amount of restoration work and digging into an aircraft is some of the unique little things that they may uncover, such as, you know, little scribblings or, you know, possible remnants of its past history. And, of course, this airplane never saw service during World War II, but it served stateside for a time and then went over to the French Air Force for a time and then, you know, came back and went through a lot of modifications. Have you guys, you know, found any interesting little tidbits or anything on the aircraft that, you know, just makes you kind of, you know, scratch your head and go, where'd that come from?
Well, we have heard one tidbit that has followed the plane. The CAF acquired the plane through the courthouse auction, I believe, in Amarillo, because the plane was left abandoned at Amarillo Airport. And without tipping the reason why in my story, let me go on and say that when the plane joined the CAF fleet and basically went onto the air show circuit, individuals came up to it and said, oh, we recognize this plane. We used to call it the Grey Ghost when we were chasing it along the Gulf Coast in its drug running days. So that's we understand that there was a mechanical that landed at Amarillo and the crew scattered because it was on one of these ill-fated and illegal missions.
Well, of course, you know, that was one of the handy things that that a lot of warbirds were used for in the I guess you could say the drug running days of the 1960s and 1970s. And you know, I worked on a C-46 that had the same kind of provenance, and people used to ask me. They said, hey, have you scraped along the edges of the cargo compartment just to see if there's anything left? I said, no, that's not our deal.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for Wix Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the Wix Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. Wix wants to hear from you. Again, that's Wix Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
Live from the land of the free, because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
Hey folks, we're back with you here at the Wix Warbird Weekly Live Radio Show. We had a little bit of an interruption there, but I think we've got Paul back on the line. Paul, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. We got you back on. That's great. That's great. I was afraid that one of those pesky tornadoes that have been around the area may have hit the tower or something around here. So. But for those of you just joining us, it is the 4th of May, 2011, and you're listening to the Wix Warbird Weekly Live program here on Warbird Radio. And we're speaking tonight with Paul Lager, the squadron leader of the Invader Squadron of the CAF. They're the latest caretakers of the A-26 43-7140, better known to many as the Spirit of Waco, but now will be known as Hoodlehead, a Korean War scheme. Right now the aircraft is in restoration and getting back into flying condition. And we were just discussing a little bit about the the history of the aircraft, and I think we were discussing a little bit about its past possibly, and the fact that maybe Lyndon Johnson may have flown on board the aircraft, and you guys were still tracking that down, I believe.
Yes. And one of the things that our research gave us that the plane's new serial number, the U.S. Air Force serial number, will be 434327, which was Hoodlehead for Captain Walmsley.
434327. Okay, so that's something that we're gonna have to list and make sure we get updated on all the Warbird registry sites and such. And you know, because people will obviously be checking around and saying, "Well, which one is that one?" So,
right.
What if I could ask? You had mentioned that you're getting the aircraft painted, and of course, you know, there are not many organizations out there that that deal with the specialty of Warbird aircraft painting. What company are you going to be going to for that? And when do you expect the airplane will head off to paint?
Well, in the discussions we had today with Nelson, he's anticipating that the spar will be ready probably by late June, early July. And once that's completed and we have completed our side with all of the control surfaces and it's all put back together, we hope then in July this will fly off to the paint shop. We're still in discussions with regard to that, and so at this time I really wouldn't want to say much more than that, but we are pursuing it.
Okay, well, it's good to hear. I mean, obviously, you can't put the cart before the horse in many cases, so it's good that you're at least getting the mechanical details worked out in advance. Now, of course, one of the things that I'm curious about, you know, obviously in the past year, Fort Worth has actually seen a pretty good upsurge in A-26 traffic, especially with the B-26K that has moved down to the area from its former home in Montana. Have you been in communication with that group at all? Have you been able to look at possibly, you know, any resources that you can swap out, or you know, any cooperative endeavors in terms of parts and pieces to get the airplanes into condition?
Well, that group are our neighbors in the Vintage Flying Museum. Mm-hmm. But at the present time, it's tucked way into the back corner, waiting its turn to come forward in their program with regard to restoration. Not at the present time. You know, we're working on getting what we need to do, but it would be nice eventually to see both models flying, particularly as that one has such a strong link to Vietnam, and we're linking ours to Korea.
Yeah. What do you guys need as a squadron? You guys are a new squadron. You got new members. You've got I know I've seen your ready room over there, which looks good. What else do you guys? What are you guys looking for? What do you need more than, you know? I know everybody needs, you know, the mighty cubic dollar to make these things go. But is there anything else that you guys need? And anything specific you are looking for, or you know, other than people and money?
Well, we've in the process of developing a marketing program which we're calling the Founders 100 program, and basically we're approaching private individuals and corporations to see if they would be prepared to make a donation of $1,000. And then be recognized as a member of the Founders 100 program and receive a listing on our Founders 100 board, again on display under the wing at the air shows and in the hangar. And without really rolling that out aggressively at this time, we have had quite a few more private individuals wanting join the Founders 100 program, although we have received a 1,000 donation from the All State Insurance Foundation, who who work closely in giving back to the charitable organizations where some of their agents are actively involved in those charities and those programs. And also, in fact, we have farmers insurance now wanting to look at the same opportunity. So, but actively knocking on the doors of corporate America at the present time, we're still building the marketing information piece that we can show them and that they can understand, and then go more aggressively into that program.
I think that's a good new model of how organizations like yours, need to approach the Warbird restoration and upkeep. Whereas in the past it used to always be where, let's get it flying first, and then we'll worry about the dollars, or then we'll worry about promoting it afterwards. And because flying's the fun stuff, but the fact that you're doing the due diligence and building the marketing plan, building the business model, and the fundraising scheme behind it too, is extraordinarily admirable and a good start off with it. Of course, with that, do you guys have a website or Facebook presence or social media presence that you'd like to broadcast out there? We can post up on the board this evening and that kind of thing, so that people can find out a little bit more information about your wing and about the project.
Sure. The website is www.a26invader.com, and that, of course, is our website, and gives a lot of the background information on the plane, its history, and what we are hoping to do. And again, there is a computer-generated graphic of what the color scheme will look like that you actually posted on your site for tonight's discussions. I would mention also, mention on that Founders 100 program that the individuals or the corporations do receive a framed numbered certificate of appreciation that obviously they can display to show that they are giving back to a certain segment of the community that's involved in remembering the past and the activities and the sacrifices that our fighting forces gave in the various conflicts that we've been involved in.
That's absolutely. Now that's another point is that now with your organization, does your individual wing have to become a 501c3 for charitable contributions, or is it worked under the Commemorative Air Force in terms of that?
Right, it's under the umbrella of the of the Commemorative Air Force.
Okay, so that makes it a lot easier. So in essence, not only the donors are getting the tax benefit of it, but also the very, very feel good benefit of receiving the extra display material, so that they can know that they were a part of bringing something from our history back to life again. So I think that's a fantastic thing. Well, I wanted to thank you very much for joining us tonight, Paul. Do you have anything else you'd like to mention before we close up the interview this evening, or anything that you'd like to promote or ask for before we sign you off at this point?
No, I think we've covered extensively the plane, its new involvement on the Warbird community, and what we're doing to get it there. But
great.
I appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation with you.
Well, we appreciate you coming on tonight, Paul. I look forward to midsummer seeing the airplane in Fort Worth, and I hope if anybody's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area this summer and beyond, come by the Vintage Flying Museum hangar and see the A-26. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you very much, Paul. And again, folks, if you're interested in finding out more information about the program and the A-26 and the new squadron, the Invader Squadron in Fort Worth, Texas, go to their website at a26invader.com. There's no dash in that, so it's just a26invader.com, which I think is a very fortunate URL, the fact that they were able to get that. I'm surprised that somebody else didn't grab that. So
that's a good one.
Absolutely. So I'm glad to see that they're you know, building that up, and looking through their website, they've got a lot of great stuff up here, some old photographs, history of the aircraft. So definitely go over to a26invader.com and take a look over there. Well, Zane, I think we've got to have a trivia question here. We've forgotten all about that. I mean, it's we always do this every single week and forgot all about it. So if you're out there listening to us, give us a call. The phone number. I just forgot the phone number. 478-787-4768. I was just trying to lure you guys in. But our trivia question for this evening is as follows, and this again is given to us by Chris Soltis from warbirdware.com and one of our members over at the Wix internet forum, and this is for a free t-shirt from his new venture over at redbubble.com, which is a custom t-shirt with one of his designs over at the Warbirdware gallery, custom being, you know, you pick the color, you pick the size, you pick the design on the front of it, and we send it out to you all ready to go. And you know, he's got some great stuff up there, some great vintage designs, some great insignias and such. But on to the question at hand. The question for tonight is: this aircraft began its military service life with the United States in 1936. But it wasn't until 1961 that the last of this type of aircraft was finally retired, thus ending an era.
What the aircraft? EV-2 Harpoon.
That was
last week, man.
Never win anything around here.
I'll give you a free Facebook page.
Yeah,
How's that?
That was a good one, though.
folks, if you've got an answer to the question, give us a call, 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768. I know some of you are already posting on the Wix forum tonight about the trivia question. What was it going to be? So, you know, make sure you give us a call, and I'm going to be upset if a particular person doesn't call in, because they should know this. So, anyways.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, we've got a very, very busy air show season that's starting to crank up. We had the Pacific Coast Dream Machine Show out here in California last week, which we have some photos up on the site from, and it was great to see that our friend Ty Ramey's C-45 got over there and was running rides while they were there. Actually another beautiful A-26, heavily polished A-26 coming from the Van Nuys area, made its way up there too. It's an on-mark model, but I got to say, you know, it's one of my favorite airplanes, the A-26. It's just got such clean lines.
They're such a hot rod too. I mean, you know, they're beautiful airplanes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, the fact that it has a roll rate like a fighter and such. And of course, if you go onto YouTube, you can actually see there's an organization over in Europe that actually flies its airplane around. I believe it's the Norwegian Heritage Flight or the Norwegian Commemorative Flight that actually does borderline aerobatics with their airplane in their routine that they fly around. So there's some great footage on YouTube of that, actually there's a famous photo that was the cover of one of the magazines a couple of years back with basically an A-26 and, you know, straight up from in flight, air to air shot, a beautiful shot. You can't imagine an airplane that size doing it, but of course, you know, we've got the Junkins with their Super Beech-18 that they fly on the air show circuit, that's, you know, that can completely fly aerobatics. And you see the Lear that's flying aerobatics every year at Reno. And of course, you know, an A-26 is not much bigger than an SNF Tiger Cat. So, you know, those do great aerobatic routines. Hint, hint, come out to Chino this year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a lot larger than, say, a Shrike Commander either. So, you know.
That is true, too. But I, unlike Bob Hoover, I would not shut the engines off.
No, probably not.
Yeah, that would probably not be a very good thing, too. We're getting, of course, Chino. Chino is coming around the corner very, very quickly. Holy cow. You know, it's only in a couple of weeks here, folks. And that's really the big start over here on the West Coast with air shows. And it looks like the A-36 Apache that they have in their collection is getting ready. There's some photos of Mr. Hinton working on the aircraft at the Fighter Rebuilders Hangar and getting it ready. But it looks like that's going to be a fantastic show. I'm hoping, crossing my fingers, I'm hoping to get out to it. So I'm looking forward to that. And, of course, the Mid-Atlantic Air Museum show, the World War II commemorative weekend over in Reading, Pennsylvania, is going to be happening the first part of June, and looks like they've got a great lineup with the Avro Lancasters coming down, of course, the B-17 Yankee Lady, and a lot of other things. Plus, people always like to come out there and see it because they usually wheel the Black Widow project out, and people get a little bit of a chance to see what might be coming down the line. So looking forward to that. Hopefully, crossing our fingers, this year is not going to be the year where it rains again, because that seems to be the standard over at the Mid-Atlantic Museum, where it always seems to rain. So
well, yeah, that happens, doesn't it?
Zane's crying. You know, yeah. You guys have seen your share of weather for the last couple of weeks.
My rain gauge is full, but you know, it's supposed to be a good weekend. It's supposed to be, you know, come back up into the 90s, and a Central Texas Air Show down in Temples this weekend. I think Texas Raider and Yellow Rose are going to be there. That's the heavy iron that's supposed to be there. I know Fifi took off from Fort Worth today, headed for Barksdale. There was a little rumor and a little possibility that there might be a special formation flight with a B-17, a B-29, a B-52. But for you guys that just heard that a little bit, apparently that is not going to happen. I don't know. It's kind of a last-minute deal. Maybe the Air Force or something. Yeah, kind of a little disappointed that that's not going to happen. You know, it may make the trip to Shreveport well worthwhile, but I know the B-29 is supposed to leave today for Fort Worth, headed over there, so go out and see her this weekend.
Absolutely. Well, I didn't take your advice, and unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to go out and see her the last time. So I have not had that in my logbook yet. So hopefully, you know, soon.
Shame on you, you know?
I know. Well, thinking on the other side of the speed spectrum, actually, I one thing that kind of caught my eye in the last week here is it seems like there seems to be an F-106 project that is for sale. A lot of us have been talking about the F-100F that the Collings Foundation purchased several months back and have since gotten into Southeast Asia colors in the colors of Colonel Bud Day. The gentleman that they bought the aircraft from also was working on a pretty significant project with an F-106. And it looks like it might be the project itself might be up for sale coming out into the open. And of course, what it takes to get a Century Series fighter back up into flying condition is pretty significant, but it seems to be a pretty substantial package for a little bit more than the cost of a brand new Beach Baron, more or less. So,
yeah, pretty much. You know,
$290,000 for a package of three Delta darts. I think that's a pretty good deal, I think.
Yeah, I think that guy's got three or four at least sitting there on the ramp in El Paso. So, you know, that'd be exciting to see. I've never seen one of those fly. That'd be golly. Talk about a hot rod.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, of course, you know, NASA had operated them a little bit for a time, an F-106 would be a great airplane to see up in the air. And certainly would be the interceptor that everybody would love to see just take off and try to, you know, intercept that TU-95 Bear someplace up there, you know, get the afterburners going and stuff. I mean, I remember an old an old advertisement with three of those in formation taking off with this big afterburner plume afterwards, and I could just sit there going, imagining, you know, what the sound of it was. So I couldn't imagine.
I can't imagine.
even though it's just one J75, that's the way it is. But anyways, yeah. we're still looking for an answer to tonight's trivia question. So give us a call, 478-787-4768. If you've got that, again, 478-787-4768. Don't let us bleed it over till next week, folks. So might as well probably reread it again here.
Yeah,
just in case
that was
catch
what
it
is.
Yeah. The question is, this aircraft began its military service life with the United States in 1936, but it wasn't until 1961 that the last of this type was finally retired, thus ending an era. What aircraft was it? And, you know, there's a lot of aircraft. You talk about the A-26 that we were discussing a little earlier. You know, that type was, you know, came out in 1943, more or less. Most of them, you know, a good number of them were built during that time. And they didn't retire that until, you know, well into the 1970s, you know, with the B-26K, of course, you know, modified heavily after the war and such. And you look at other aircraft like the AT-6. Some of the air forces of the world were flying them up until, you know, the 80s as trainer aircraft. So, you know, it really is a testament to the durability of some of these warbirds out here that their service life can continue on for so many years without really too much of an interruption.
Yeah, especially this airplane. It was by 61. It was pretty well outdated. I mean, if you think of, you know, something pre-war. You know, so I think we've got a caller here.
Yeah, we do have a caller. I was just looking at that. Caller, you're on Wicks Warbird Weekly Live. Who's this?
Hi, this is Doug from Northern California.
Doug from Northern California, how you doing?
Good. I think I have an answer for you on your trivia question.
Oh, yes, please, try it away.
Royal Air Force flew the Spitfire until 1961.
Well, that's a good piece of history on that one, but I guess it's not the answer that we were looking for. And you know what? I probably should have clarified it. I guess it should have been the military aircraft would be in the U.S. service life, but the fact that they flew the Spitfire until 61. What mark was that? Was that one of the high altitude Spitfires that was flown up until the
60s? I'm not sure which one, but it was retired in the fall of 61.
Wow.
The Spitfire. And, I think it came into service in the late 30s, I believe.
Mm. Yeah, I think they were first flights in like 34 or so. I think it's a little older airplane, the Spitfire.
Oh, okay. Wrong airplane then.
Yeah.
But you know what? You definitely have educated us, and for that, send us an email at wix@warbirdradio.com, wix@warbirdradio.com, and we'll send something out to you for educating us at least on that one. So that would be great.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in tonight, Doug. Again, folks, we're still looking for the answer to tonight's trivia question, and it looks like it might be a little bit of a tricky stumper again. Chris made a good one for us. I should clarify that this U.S. flown aircraft began its military life with the United States in 1936, and it wasn't until 1961 that the last of this type was finally retired, thus ending an era. Which aircraft was it? So, and we had the guess of a Spitfire, but of course that was RAF earlier. But hey, you know what? I guess you could say that, you know, it was flown by the U.S. for a little bit, because there is a model that is actually sitting in the U.S. Air Force Museum. So, you know,
that's true.
In technicalities, you can still call it that. So. Specifically 1936. And for a certain listener that knows this type very, very well, they should know this. So
you have another caller here, Ryan and Zate, if you'd like to take it.
All right. Bring
caller. Go right ahead. Well, welcome to Wicks Warbird Weekly Live.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I was calling about the trivia.
You broke up there for a second. Say that again.
Is this Warbird Radio?
It is. It is, absolutely. And you were you calling in for the trivia question for this
yes,
evening?
Yes, I am.
Oh, perfect. And what would be your answer?
N3N.
You are absolutely correct on that one. And who are we speaking to this evening?
This is Karen from Fort Worth. Hi, Zane.
Hey, Karen. How are you?
I'm fine.
Hey, this is Karen here. This is Invader Night. She was adjutant out there at the Invader Squadron. So,
holy cow.
She's got a new job. So.
Totally volunteer, though.
Well, that's the way it is, and that way you it's job security that way. So that, and it's easy to get a raise when you're a volunteer. So, well, that's great. Well, thank you very much for calling in tonight, Karen. And I'm guessing you listened to the entire interview earlier on. So,
yes,
hopefully, you guys will be able to download the podcast and post it up on the website for the group after all is said and done, and you'll hear yourself up there too for the correct answer. So,
hey, Karen, real quick, you got plans for the weekend?
Yes, I'll be at the Central Texas Air Show at Temple with my aircraft.
There you go. Everybody look for the little black O2 and watch her fly. She flies. She does that well, yeah.
And I would like to say that Chris's T-shirts are great. I ordered some earlier in the year, so I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Well, do us a favor. I mean, we all know you, obviously, and you can send us a PM, but just do us a favor and just send us an email at wix@warbirdradio.com, and I'll show you how to pick out the design and everything, so we'll get it all taken care of.
I'll do that. Great show tonight. Thanks.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks,
Have
Karen.
A good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, another wonderful Wix member joining us this evening. You know, Zane, I guess people actually do listen to us every once in a while.
Yeah, so. Occasionally. Yeah. Isn't that a miracle? Yeah.
That
We're
is
not
definitely...
actually talking to ourselves. I like that.
Well, you know, hey, at least Matt's here listening to us, but he has to. You know,
I have to listen. No, that's so cool. It, you know, being a Texan, it makes me want to just – I'm so glad when Texans call in. Sometimes I forget that they actually listen down there. You know?
Oh, yeah. This is a big Warbird state.
I'm telling you, it's our second largest audience. Well, it is our largest. Actually, Texas and California, two of the largest audiences. So.
Well, they're the two largest states, too. So, you know, it's the way it is. But
yeah.
I'll have to start stuffing the listener box from Arizona here, and I'll have to, you know, give free computers on the street corner and have people listen.
Just good to hear. Just good to hear from good Texans every once in a while, you know. So,
well,
thanks for calling in tonight, Karen. So.
Absolutely.
I love to hear from everybody, though.
That's very true. I would like to hear some more folks from the East Coast call in every once in a while, because I think that's one of the things that we don't get a lot of you know, talk about is there's a lot of activity actually that is going on, you know, in terms of, you know, small restoration groups and that kind of thing in like Maine and those areas, but we never hear about that kind of stuff. And you know, might just be past their bedtime back east, you know. But you know, I'd like to hear a little bit from maybe, you know, some of our Canadian friends, you know, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, those areas. I mean, there's a lot going on in those areas, so I think that would be great to hear from. And of course, you know, Midwest too would be also nice. So I guess that's my wish list.
Okay,
so
we'll see what we can do on that.
Anyways,
all right.
Well, folks, well, thank you very much for joining us this evening, and we will be with you again next week. Thanks for joining us on Wix Warbird Weekly Live. Have a great night.